The Spinoff Podcast Network.
Talo for Lover. I'm Madeline Chapman, editor at The Spinoff. If you have the means, consider supporting our high-quality journalism by becoming a Spinoff member. Sign up now at thespinoff.co.nz/donate.
You're listening to Business is Boring, a podcast that reckons it's anything but. Business is Boring is brought to you by Spark Lab, offering inspiration and practical advice to help businesses find their edge. To hear more about Spark Lab, including details about the latest events, workshops, and business tools, visit sparklab.co.nz. And now, here's your host, Simon Pound.
Kia ora koutou katoa. Welcome to Business is Boring. Many people sit at work with a picture of a place they would rather be, but one pair of twins turned this idea into their dream business with images of cabins going from living on a monitor desktop display to becoming their lives. Unyoked started as an idea to spend more time connected to nature and has grown to be in Australia, New Zealand and the UK with cabins in just remote enough spots, camping without the camping, with no man-made things in sight and Instagram perfect everything. The Nature and Disconnection as a Service company has raised millions more to expand further into Europe, and co-founder Chris Grant joins us now to chat the journey, nature and what's next. Tēnā koe, thank you for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, so first up, tell me how you started out, as you and your brother had kind of some pretty sweet corporate kind of jobs that I imagine you'd worked pretty hard to get into. What led you to leave and pursue this idea?
Yeah, we'd always wanted to build something. So we'd been collecting ideas for years, really. Our careers were always a bit of a foundation for what we were going to do next. But it was still a difficult decision. You know, we were working jobs that we still enjoyed. My brother was in strategy at a bank, and I was, my last role was over in Singapore, scaling a edtech startup over there. And yeah, it was still a big decision to jump ship and build something for ourselves. But we wanted to do it. We needed to have that sort of creative license and that ability to drive something ourselves and to be passionate about what we were doing. And the idea for Unyoked was the first one after years of ideating and discussions that was really aligned with who we were and where we wanted to take our journey. So yeah, when those things aligned, we pushed forward.
What was the germ of that idea? What was the idea that got you to go, yep, let's jump in?
We'd seen these tiny houses or mobile cabins overseas. They were just in their infancy back in 2015 when we sort of came up with this idea, and Australia and New Zealand had never seen them before. And we dug into the complexities around some development approval and zoning types, and sort of realised that hey, these mobile cabins might be able to unlock patches of wilderness that had never previously been able to have this level of amenity on it. And that was it. That sort of sparked our creativity. We'd been looking at photos of cabins around the world, and we'd always spend our free time during university or whenever we could get away, going on large trips and hiking and exploring. And so we wanted to bring a little bit of that that sort of romanticism and that escapism and that experience to our everyday and to other people's everyday. And that was the spark that sort of started us on this path.
And you're pretty careful to call them cabins and not tiny houses, eh? Like, tell us the difference there.
Yeah, it's definitely a personal preference. It's been ours for a long time. There's a tiny house industry and a tiny house movement, which we're happy to sit sort of ancillary to, but it's not what we do. We've used the tiny houses as a mobile small hotel room essentially, and that's the the vehicle and the mode that we can use to put these home bases on these properties, but our business is about the property and the wilderness and the landscape and what we can unlock with these things, not necessarily the cabin itself. You know, the cabins are architecturally designed and sustainable and off the grid and, you know, very comfortably and have all the amenities that you need to get the most out of the outdoors, but the business is about unlocking these landscapes and getting people back to them and helping them spend more and more time in nature, so that they can realize the benefits that nature does have on the human body.
Yeah. Tell me about how you got started. Like, how do you go from going, this could be cool, to proving it out, finding a bit of land that has what you need, and getting people to know about it?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot in that question there for sure. So, you know, we had to side hustle at first. So, you know, we were still working our careers. We didn't have enough to bankroll, going to no salaries and building from scratch. So yeah, it was evenings and weekends for the first couple of years. And we found some friends of ours who were willing to try and build a cabin with us. And you know, we spoke to a Bulgarian architect who built one overseas and you know, managed to get some help with the plans. And then, we pushed forward bootstrapping the first couple of cabins and then finding the land was a whole nother kettle of fish. We had to send out tens of thousands of postcards, to mailboxes. We went walking and letterbox dropping and put ads on local community boards, in local newspapers. At the time, you know, this was 2015, Airbnb had maybe just launched or was just launching, and you know, it was a time when the sharing economy was still fresh. You know, people were not used to saying, "Hey, I want to share your property with strangers," and and put this mobile cabin on there, and they were like, "What is that?" You know, I don't know who you are. I don't know what that is. No thank you. So.
And I imagine if it's a properly remote spot, people might like their privacy and remoteness too, right?
Well, exactly. Yeah. You know, in the early days, we often really excited one half of a couple and then met with resistance from the other half of a couple. So we had a few that we were almost there, but then, you know, hit a roadblock. But we did, we found some really, you know, curious and adventurous people who were willing to take a bet on us and start the journey with us. And yeah, we unlocked a few properties. We built those first couple of cabins, and then we were lucky enough that, you know, we seeded our launch in a few millennial editorials that, you know, that was the target market we'd chosen as our first one, namely because it was similar to us. And, you know, high disposable income and also influential. If you could capture the millennial market at the time, then, you know, you could often say that other demographics would follow as well. We were lucky that once we seeded that first couple of media drops, it was wildly popular, and, you know, it was a new thing. People were interested in it. It was meeting a need that Cam and I had identified in ourselves, that we were burning out and you know, we needed more nature, and turned out other people needed it too. So yeah, it just sort of snowballed from there.
That snowballing, I mean, at one stage you had, you know, a handful of cabins, but like a 4 month plus kind of waiting list, right? Like it had like thousands of people waiting to come and experience this. How did that feel after, I imagine, a lot of no's and a lot of people going, "Oh, what?"
Yeah, it was gratifying, I guess. And, you know, made us, comfortable that we were on the right journey. Also, you know, nerve wracking. You know, there's a tight line to walk when you're launching a new business of, you know, overexposing yourself. And, you know, we had 10,000 people on the wait list at one stage, and, you know, we were quite worried that a lot of those 10,000 people would keep checking the website, keep your booked out, and then, you know, we'd burn them essentially, and, you know, they wouldn't want to come back. So yeah, we were a little bit hesitant of that, but overall it's a good problem to have, not a bad one.
Tell me about selecting the right site. Like I went, and this is not a an advertorial, it's completely disconnected to this chat. I went last year, my work actually for Christmas got us a night in Unyoked, and It was a cool present, man. And I went down to Raglan, and in the Raglan spot, Marama, it was kind of 2 hours away from Auckland, pretty easy drive, just, you know, 10-odd minutes out of the township. And there was just enough of a walk up a hill, so it was a bit of a disconnect from your daily grind, you know, about a 15-minute uphill kind of amble. And then when we got up there, there was nothing in sight except for the odd thing on the water that was man-made. And that was really cool. It actually created the conditions for a real break from the everyday. And all of that, that I kind of, you know, ambled into and experienced without having kind of planned it myself, I've come to see is completely planned.
Exactly right. We designed the whole experience to help people get the most out of the environment and the experience. So, you know, the only experience is about realizing the benefits of nature and what they can do for your body. You know, we can dive into these now or later, but there's sort of three key ones which we focus on, which are reducing stress levels and cortisol levels. There's some fascinating science behind it. Increasing creativity and driving concentration and creative problem solving, and also increasing connection, your feeling of connection with others and connection with the world around you. And these are three heavily science-backed benefits of nature, and our experience and all the elements of it are designed to help facilitate those, so that our customers and our guests, our community can you know, live out you know, what our brand and our business is purporting to do. So that involves not being able to see or hear any human elements. That involves having to shed the city, so to speak. So once you park at that car park, you have that 15-minute walk. That's about, yeah, hearing the birds, seeing the trees, having to do a little grunt work to achieve something, and then getting to your cabin, being able to put your bags down, turn around on the deck stand and look at that view where there's no other human elements. And, you know, I can dig into some of the interesting science behind it, but it relates to, you know, there's this concept in evolutionary science called the evolutionary environment of adaptiveness. And that's essentially referring to the environment to which a species adapted over time and evolved, and the pressures in that environment that caused it to evolve. And if you look at the human species over 300,000 years and, you know, back millions of years in terms of earlier evolution, the sort of environment that we evolved in was a completely natural one. And the environment we find ourselves in the day-to-day now is lights, pollution, concrete, noise, internet, connection, phones. It's completely at odds with that environment that our bodies have evolved in. And so our bodies still react to that original environment. And so getting it the closest expression of that and spending time in it is very, very important. And that's where you see those benefits and that magic happen.
Yeah. And your ideal customer is kind of the people who have thrived in this unnatural environment. They're too busy, they're, you know, can't get away for two nights. They, you know, might like the idea of camping, but, you know, going away for a night or two and going through all the faff of camping can be harder than, you know, less relaxing than getting away. And so to kind of do like nature as a service for people who are disconnected from nature because they're thriving in the material world is a really interesting concept, right?
It really is. And you're right. It's this sort of often the high performers and, you know, the people who have managed to make the modern world, you know, work to them, so to speak, or, you know, they're working hard, they're working in startups. And it's those people who need it most. And some people have forgotten it. And that's what we see our role as the sort of educator and the facilitator, the bridge between the city and the natural world. And if you take these people who are doing well and who are thriving in their desk jobs and, you know, online and in the digital world, and manage to intersperse that with immersive nature, you can get to a whole nother level. So yeah, that's what it's all about.
Awesome. And we'll be back in a moment with Chris Grant to talk growing the business, community, partnerships, and the future. Spark is proud to partner with the Sustainable Business Network and the Climate Action Toolbox. The free Climate Action Toolbox can provide you with simple step-by-step guides to measure and reduce your emissions. Help lead the way to a low-carbon future for New Zealand. Visit sparklab.co.nz/sustainability to find out more.
Ready to rediscover the joys of cycling? With over 300 kilometres of cycle paths across Tāmaki Makaurau, jumping on your bike and going for a ride is such a fun way to discover the city from a different perspective. Cycling is getting more and more popular across Auckland, so now's a great time to join the hype and give cycling a go. Head to at.govt/cycling to find your nearest cycleway today.
Hoki mai anō, welcome back to Business is Boring, where we're with Chris Grant from Unyoked. So what is the scale of Unyoked today? Because you recently, or this year, took on some pretty significant funding, hey, to scale it up through the UK and into Europe. Is that right?
That's right, yeah. Yeah, we closed a Series A funding round for a bit over $30 million, which... yeah, it really just helps us unlock more wilderness, around the world in our sort of three core markets in New Zealand, Australia, the UK, and then into continental Europe next year as well. And so at the moment, we've got around 120 cabins globally, but we've got over 1,000 sites that are ready and waiting to go. So it's about preparing those sites and unlocking them and getting cabins on them. And you know, there's so much need for stillness and pure nature in the world, particularly outside major urban centres. So, yeah, we just want to keep rolling with our mission of unlocking that and getting people back to it more often.
And a great growth model, right? If you can turn up to someone with land that's pretty remote, so therefore probably not, if it's not intensively farmed or something, probably not returning them a lot. And if you can say, hey, we'll come along, we'll put down this thing, we'll look after everything and you'll just get some money. Brilliant business model.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, there's some really exciting attributes to the business model, which, you know, like you just mentioned, you know, we offer a great sustainable revenue stream for farmers or property owners who perhaps want to move away from intensive agriculture towards something more sustainable, or something that's ag cycle resistant. So if there's droughts or rain or those sort of things, like our cabins can continue to operate, and we can help people rehabilitate their properties, bring them closer back to how they should be, which is really awesome.
Yeah, and kind of by definition, it's out of the way, so you won't be under people's feet.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, we look for sort of pure wilderness, which generally sits away from houses and operations and anything else that's going on the business. So it's a way to monetize perhaps non-arable land land that hasn't been doing anything. And on the flip side, it's a way for us as a business to unlock these areas that have sometimes been held from the public for generations. And so it sort of gives them back essentially, and people can explore them again, and it opens them up to foot traffic from people other than the landowners.
And part of your mission so far has been to prove out, I mean, you mentioned before there's a lot of science around the positive effects of nature, which should be pretty obvious, right? And then also evolutionary science and the like. But you're also been working to partner to get your own data around the mood and lifestyle benefits of nature connection for people, right? Tell us about some of that work and kind of both the sports and art space, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we've combed through all of the research, and there's thousands now. You know, over the last sort of 15 years, the amount of research in this area has really pushed forward, which is awesome. So there's sort of thousands of these papers around the world where they're empirically proving the benefits of nature in some of these core areas I mentioned, you know, particularly on decreasing stress levels and increasing mood. What we want to do is contextualize that to our demographic in the areas that we're operating. And so, you know, we're looking at generally busy professionals who are spending too much time in urban centres and sort of starting to get burnt out, stressed, and spending too much time on their phone and their computers. You know the drill. You know, so we want to be conducting research with these people, and we try and do it in areas that can also help inspire people to get back to nature. So we work with top musicians. You know, we partnered with Apple last year, and we sent down a handful of artists that are represented by Apple, award-winning artists, down to our cabins, and they had to create original tracks while they were there. So they went through their creative flow, aided by the privacy and the nature around them. And then we sent down Apple's sound engineers to record new spatial audio down around the cabins, and then the artists got access to the spatial audio, spliced it into their original tracks, and then we launched them on Apple Music to 80 million people on the front page there. And then we also collected data and released guides so that our community could follow the same process that these artists went through. So that's just one of the avenues. We're working with Interbrand, which is one of the world's largest agencies, to send their creative strategists down to our cabins and measure empirically their changes in mood and creativity and stress. And then we're releasing a white paper with a third party, which we'll be launching early next year. We work with universities. We've sent athletes down. You know, Sam Kane was there before the World Cup. There's all sorts of fun stuff. It's something that really excites us, and there's so much room for creativity here because what nature can do for people is really quite fascinating.
I'll bet you get some good data, because if my work was to send me off for 2 days of some pretty sweet nature time, I reckon pretty safe to say you're going to come back with pretty good mood and de-stress.
that's the thing. Like just taking you away from your desk can help, but then you get the added benefits. So, you know, there's some great science that says even the smell of pine can decrease your cortisol levels. Your body will react to that. You know, even looking at a picture of a tree for 20 seconds can lower cortisol levels. So imagine if you go into a forest. You know, it's really quite cool.
Yeah, love it. Tell me about Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah, that's, you know.
There's one for the field.
a bit of claim to fame for us. Like, you know, he's obviously a Hollywood heavyweight. And, we're pretty humble startup at that, especially at the time that he came knocking at our door. So, yeah, we just had a bit of luck there. You know, as I mentioned, we'd got a lot of media when we launched. And Matthew McConaughey at the time was the creative director globally of Wild Turkey, and he produced his own bourbon with them, and he had a hands-on role in that they were trying to evolve their consumer base and move to a millennial that was more environmentally focused and away from their consumer that they had at the time. And so he picked us out of something that he'd seen, and then told his team that he wanted to work with us, and they had a whole lot of trouble getting hold of us because we were pretty small and saying no to all promotions at the time and didn't realize who or what it was. But yeah, we ended up working with them on a number of projects. We flew over to LA and filmed something with him, and then he came to Australia and launched a cabin that we worked on with him. And so yeah, it was a really fun partnership.
I love that, and I love the idea of like Matthew McConaughey, whatever, it's Matthew McConaughey, and then next thing you're like, oh shoot, okay, it is.
Uh-oh. We're available, yeah, sorry.
Where do you see this going? Like, you're moving into Europe, you've got, thousand-odd sites earmarked. Like, how big can this go? Do you run out of wilderness?
There's plenty of wilderness, and there's plenty of need for access to it. So, yeah, what we're building is definitely not about growth for growth's sake. It's not about any sort of domination or ego. You know, we're just enjoying what we're doing, and as long as other people are enjoying it too, there's a need to be building it. And you know, really, in any major urban center in the world, there are people there who've grown up in that urban center and don't understand. You know, New Zealanders are quite a different breed, where everyone really understands the importance of the wilderness. But there are places in the world where they don't. But even in New Zealand, there are people that don't get out to it enough or don't have access to the sort of tingle on the back of your neck, awe-inspiring wilderness that we're able to unlock with our cabins. So yeah, it's just about accessing more of that land to be able to give it back to our community, to be able to educate people around the benefits of nature and help people create a habit out of it. You know, we really believe people should be heading out to the cabins or any sort of nature camping or any type, but immersive nature 3 or 4 times a year at a minimum, and letting it work its wonders on your body and then popping back into the mayhem again. And so, yeah, our role is about increasing the education around this, championing this movement, and having fun while we do it.
What advice would you have for people who do want to make something of their own and see a problem that affects them?
I think that the second part of your question is a really important part. If it's a problem that's affecting them and it's something that they can be passionate about, then I think that's the first ingredient to a successful recipe, really. If it's something like my brother and I felt, you know, we felt we weren't spending enough time in nature. We felt we had a problem and, you know, we devised a solution, and it's something that because of that passion and that personal exposure to it, it's really been able to drive our fuel to build the business and to, like I said, to enjoy doing it. So I think that's a big part of it, uncovering that what and why early on, and then just taking small steps. You know, it's better to do something than nothing. And so yeah, just get started. Don't put it off. And we did that. And yeah, you'll be able to do well with it. I'm always here if anyone wants to reach out on LinkedIn. I'm happy to help bounce ideas off or anything like that. So yeah, I think speaking to other people who've done it before is a great help as well.
Well, that's a lovely offer. And as a final thought, what will success be for Unyoked and for you?
I think we already feel successful. Just increasing our exposure around the world. You know, we're creating a global brand because we think that's the best way to inspire people. And you know, if we can create something that people can relate to and that does inspire people to get out to nature more often, then that's success. So you know, we say we've already facilitated over 1 million hours in nature. You know, I'd love to see that number get up to 100 million, a billion. If we can really drive people to create this connection with nature and make a habit out of it, it's going to change people's lives. So yeah, that's success. There is still a long way to go in that sort of ultimate success, but we do feel successful where we're at today as well.
Yeah, love it. Well, thank you so much for coming and sharing the story so far. That's Chris Grant, one of the co-founders at Unyoked. Kia ora.
Thanks so much.
So thank you to Chris Grant. Thank you to you for listening. And for everyone who helps make this happen, like our producer, Te Aihe Butler. Do follow Business is Boring wherever you get your podcasts. And be sure to rate and leave a review if you like what we do. E noho rā.
From the Spinoff Podcast Network, that was Business is Boring. Brought to you by SparkLab. Make sure you're following Business is Boring wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information on SparkLab, visit sparklab.co.nz.
Kia ora e te iwi, Te Aihe Butler here, podcast manager at The Spinoff. If you enjoy listening to our podcasts, consider supporting our mahi by signing up to become a Spinoff member at thespinoff.co.nz/donate.
The Spinoff Podcast Network.